Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, it's wonderful to be back here at Church on the Rock. You know, the last time I was here was March of 2020. And you know what? You are all here today. And it's such an honor. It's such an honor to be here with you this morning. And thank you, Pastor, for your kind words. You know that your pastor is, he's one of my dearest friends. He's one of the greatest pastors in America, no doubt. And I had the privilege of being up here just a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know if he minds me saying this, but I want to let you know he's working on a new book. Yeah. And it's a book about God is for you. So if you could, please pray for Pastor, and I'm helping him with parts of it in terms of helping it get written and getting it all put together. And it's such a privilege to see him stepping out and writing this book that I've been after him to write for 20 years. So this morning, when I was here a couple of weeks ago, actually Pastor, he was sharing with me after we'd been together, and he had shared with me something about that he felt like I should reach out and begin to share more about, and that's what I'm going to share about today. And I want to tell you something, that how you position yourself to receive makes all the difference. Yes. So you can resist or you can receive. And you know, you never can see the sunrise if you're facing the west. Yet the sun still comes up, but you have to position yourself to receive. And this morning, what I have is a very personal message to share with you. And I'm going to share it to myself, too, because I need it just as much as all of you will need, I believe, what I'm going to share with you. And I'm going to speak to you from this position of an encourager. You know, you have, you know, the thing that's wonderful about Church on the Rock is that Pastor brings in all these different ministry gifts and shares and imparts them into you. And I always used to wonder, I don't think I'm a pastor, a teacher, a prophet, an apostle, you know, all of those ministry things. But then I looked a little deeper in the Bible and it said, an encourager. Yeah. And so I just want you to position yourself to be encouraged this morning. How many of you are going to do that today? Yeah. How many of you will say, I am going to receive what God has for me? Yeah. So I want to speak to you personally today. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, I remember the very first time I met Pastor Blunt. In fact, he had called me. I had done some consulting work for Ron Tucker's church up here, not too far away from y'all. And it helped them with some things, and Pastor had heard about that, and he wanted me to come up and possibly help his church. I think there was like 100 people at the church at the time. It was somewhere in the 80s, like the mid-80s. Yes? Yes. I know you didn't think I was that old. Especially if you saw my beautiful wife. But yes, yeah, so it was in the early 80s, and we were talking on the phone. And back then, you could go to the airport. You could go right to the gate, and you could meet people. And Pastor said to me, well, how will I know you when you get off the plane? And I said, oh, Pastor, I'll know you. You guys are all alike. I might have even said, you guys look all alike. Boy, was I wrong. He's such a unique and gifted and consistent person, and it's such a blessing. It really is. But there's a little piece from that story that I want to focus in on with you today. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. The human body has many parts, but many parts make up one body. So it is with the body of Christ. This is Paul speaking. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we've all been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit, and we've all received the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. And if the foot should say, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? Suppose the whole body were just an eye, then how would you hear? Or if the whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? But God made our bodies with many parts, and he put each part, just where he wants it. In the King James, it says, just as he pleased. You see, the way God made you, the way that God wants to place you, pleased him right from the start. I like to say it put a smile on his face. Yes, you put a smile on God's face. It goes on to say, what a strange thing the body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. Now, all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you, each and every one of us, is a separate and necessary part of it. I'd like to share with you a story. I think this story illustrates this Bible verse quite well. The story goes like this. Now, you know I like to tell stories, right? I used to feel bad about telling stories, but then I looked at Jesus a little closer and realized he told lots of stories, so I don't feel so bad. I think you're going to like this story. It goes like this. Once upon a time, the animals decided that they should do something meaningful to meet the problems of the new world. So these animals organized a school, and they adopted an activity curriculum of running, climbing, swimming, and flying. To make it easier to administer the curriculum, all of the animals took all the subjects. The duck was excellent in swimming. In fact, he was even better than his teacher. But he only made passing grades in flying and was very poor in running. Since he was slow in running, he had to drop swimming, stay after school to practice running. Well, this caused his web feet to be badly worn. So now he was only average in swimming. But you know, average is quite acceptable, isn't it? So nobody worried about that except for that duck. The rabbit, he started at the top of his class in running, but developed a nervous twitch in his leg muscles because of so much makeup work in swimming. The squirrel was excellent in climbing, but he encountered constant frustration in flying class because his teacher made him start from the ground up instead of the treetop down. He developed Charlie horses from overexertion, so now only got a C in climbing and a D in running. The eagle was a problem child, and he was severely disciplined for being a nonconformist. In climbing classes, he beat all the others to the top of the tree, but he insisted on using his own way to get there. Well, the obvious moral to this story is a simple one. Each creature has its own set of capabilities in which it will naturally excel. Unless it is expected or forced to fill a mold, it doesn't fit. And when that happens, frustration, guilt, or overall mediocrity bring complete defeat. You see, a duck is a duck, and only that. It's built to swim, not climb. A squirrel is a squirrel, and only that. To move it out of the realm of its forte climbing and then expect it to swim or fly will drive a squirrel nuts. You can laugh. Go ahead. Eagles are beautiful creatures in the air, but not in a foot race. The rabbit will win every time unless, of course, the eagle gets hungry. See, what's true of Christians, what's true of creatures in the forest is true of all of us Christians in the family. God has not made us all the same. He never intended to. He planned that there be differences, unique capabilities, and variations in the body. You see, this morning I want you to know this. God has placed you in His family. And He's given you a certain mixture that makes you unique. And, listen, no mixture is insignificant. No mixture is insignificant. That mix, as we saw earlier, pleases Him completely. Nobody's exactly like you. And when you operate in the realm of your capabilities, you will excel, and the whole body will benefit. And you'll also experience incredible satisfaction. And when others operate in their realm, health, unity, and balance automatically occur. But when you compare or force or entertain expectations that reach beyond yours or others' God-given capability, mediocrity or total defeat is predictable. You see, you should relax. Accept your spiritual species. Cultivate your capabilities. Stop comparing. Enjoy being you. You see, all the unhappy, discontented people you know are probably trying to be something they're not, and trying to do something they're not supposed to do. We've all done that. Yeah. Romans 12:2 in the Living Bible says this. It says, don't copy the behaviors of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think, and then you will learn from your own experiences how His ways will really satisfy you. You see, God wants you to know for yourself. You know, faith is like a toothbrush. Everybody should have one, but they shouldn't use somebody else's. He wants you to know from your own experiences how His ways work in your life. So don't be awestruck by other people and try and copy them. Nobody can be you as efficiently and as effective as you can. You see, the only reward for being like everybody else is that everybody will like you except yourself. Our calling is to be more of ourselves, more of that person that pleased God, more of that person that was made like God wanted us to be made, not less. The Living Bible in Galatians 6:4 put it this way. Let everyone be sure that he is doing his very best, for then he'll have the personal satisfaction of work well done and won't need to compare himself with anybody else. You see, what I'm attacking today, honestly, is this trap of comparison. It's insatiable. You'll never win. There's always going to be somebody prettier than you. There's always going to be somebody richer than you. There's always going to be somebody less successful than you. There's also going to be people uglier than you. Still, I just want to say this. Comparison is never proof. You may need to write that down. Comparison is never proof of anything. You see, if you scan history for your replica, you won't find it. God tailor-made you. He says in Isaiah that He personally formed and made each one. God personally made you. Let that sink in. The creator of everything made you personally, and he smiled about it. You see, the fact is that people are born originals, but most die copies. There's a good book out there called You're Born an Original, Don't Die a Copy. You see, your heaven's custom design, and his design determines your destiny. The sad truth is that most people spend their whole lives as complete strangers to themselves. Listen, stop doing that today. This is my assignment, to help all of us to stop being somebody that we're not. They spend their whole lives as complete strangers to themselves. Listen to what this disappointed young man said. He said, "My first job was working in an orange juice factory, but I got canned because I couldn't concentrate. Next, I tried working in a muffler factory, but that was too exhausting. I studied a long time to be a doctor, but I didn't have any patience. I became a professional fisherman, but discovered I couldn't live on my net income. I managed to get a good job at a pool maintenance company, but the work was just too draining." Excuse me. "And after years of steady work, I finally got a job as a historian until I realized there was no future in it. My last job was working at a Starbucks, but I had to quit because it was the same old grind. So I retired, and I found I'm perfect for that job." You see, you ought to ask yourself this. If you're not you, then who are you going to be? If I'm not me, then who am I going to be? You see, when you try to be like somebody else, the best you can ever be is number two. Consider this story about a young boy named Billy Frank. You see, Billy Frank was the elder son of a dairy farmer. And because he was the son of a dairy farmer, his dad would get him out of bed super early in the morning to do all the chores on the farm. He also had a younger brother named Melvin who would come along, even though he really wasn't really capable of helping much, but he was so eager to try and to take turns. He was excited about getting up and doing all these different chores, but Billy Frank wasn't excited at all. You see, he and his little brother, Melvin, had the same father, but they didn't have the same bent. They didn't have the same inclination at all. In fact, when Billy Frank was done with the chores, he would take off right away, go to the hayloft, and read books. He might read books about Marco Polo or Tarzan, and by the age of 14, little Billy Frank had traced the entire decline and fall of the Roman Empire. He loved missionary stories. He loved accounts of brave servants in faraway lands, and that's what fascinated this boy. Later, when he went to Florida Bible College, he would visit, he would try and spend time with every evangelist that came through. He would serve their tables. He would polish their shoes. He would caddy for them. He would try to spend any amount of time to talk to them. And he would write home to his mom and tell her how much he wanted to be like this one or that one. And Billy Frank also had one other trademark. He had incredible energy. In fact, his mother remembered this about Billy Frank. There wasn't any quietness about Billy. I guess he was hyperactive before they had that term. And she even said this, "I was relieved when he started school. He was always running, always inquiring, always questioning. He never wears down," his parents told the doctor. And the doctor said, I guess that's just the way he's made. So let's look at Billy Frank's mosaic. He's fascinated with books and words. He's intrigued by missionaries in faraway lands. He's blessed with boundless energy. What happens to a boy like that? And what happens when God's Spirit convinces him of sin and salvation? You see, young Billy Frank decided to drop his middle name and go by just his first name. After all, evangelists need to be taken seriously. And people took Billy Frank Graham very seriously. What if Billy Graham had ignored his heart? What if his parents had forced him to stay on the farm? What if a guidance counselor had advised him to pursue a degree in an area that offered the greatest future potential financial opportunities? What if no one noticed God's pattern in his life? And what if you failed to notice yours? You see, God planned and he created each of us on purpose for a purpose. And he has an assignment for you to do that nobody else can do as well as you can. Out of billions of applicants, billions of people, you are the most qualified. The Bible says in Ephesians, it is God himself who has made us, who has made us what we are, and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago, he planned that we should spend those lives helping others. So don't worry about the skills you don't have, and don't covet the strengths that others have. Instead, do what the Bible says. It says to extract. It says to exercise your own uniqueness and gifts. The Bible says to kindle afresh the gift of God which is inside of you. And this morning, this is what God is wanting to do in your life, to kindle afresh the gift of God that's inside of you. I want to mention, Pastor Blunt texted me while he was out of town, and he wanted me to at least plant the seeds for a new idea he's going to do here at the church. He is planning to bring in significant, I'll call them business and leaders from around the country to come in once a month to speak to and to share with your business people and also leaders in the church. And so he's planning to do that. And I already know some of the kinds of people, and I know one person in particular that he wants to bring in, and they're going to be fantastic. So just letting you know that. Something to get excited about. You see, I believe that every person has a flow that works for them. Amen. I thought it was interesting. I know this on my little sheet today that the last song that they sang was Flow this morning. And by the way, wasn't the worship team great today? Yeah. I always enjoy being here, even though I was a little bit late. Sorry about that. I was signing some of my books out there ahead of time. I believe that everybody has a flow that God intends to work for them. You know, it's not the same for every person. My wife is exactly the opposite of me. You know, if you do those personality profiles, I mean, if you flipped it over, that's her. So that means that we don't always agree on everything, but we have strengths to bring to every situation, right? And God has a unique flow that works for you. And so I want to share the idea of flow with you, and I'm going to give an example for each letter in that word. So F. F is for focus. What fascination did God give you, uniquely you? What gets your attention? What makes you sit up and take notice? What makes you forget everything else? What do you daydream about? What do you want to learn more about? What fascination did God give you? You know, I remember I went to Oral Roberts University, and I remember that Oral used to say that when he would see cancer or hear about it or any kind of sickness, it would make him angry. It did something to him on the inside that was different than other things. And of course, you know, he was called to a healing ministry. But what fascination did God give you? What stands out to you? The second L in flow. What is your love? God gives you passions. There are things that you love from the inside. And I believe that when you have a love for something, there's a gift associated with that. There's things that you do so much easier than other people. There's things that you have a capacity to do with less effort than other people. You can do it faster and better than most other people, and it comes so easily to you that you genuinely wonder why others can't do it. That's God giving you something. There's things that you can do that come to you easier than others. Why is that? Back when he created you with the big smile on his face. Let's face it, you're a real pro at this. Whatever it is, you're a real pro at it. A woman got a phone call from her babysitter letting her know that her daughter that she was babysitting at home was sick. And she needed to come and bring some medicine and help her. So she took off from work. She stopped by the pharmacy for some medicine for her daughter. And when she returned to her car, she realized she'd locked her keys in the car in all of her hurry. She had to get home to take care of her sick daughter. She didn't know what to do. So she called home again to talk to the babysitter. And she found out that her daughter was even getting worse. Her illness was becoming much worse. And the babysitter actually said this to her. She said, well, maybe you can find a coat hanger and somehow use that to open up your car door. And so she hung up with the babysitter. She walked back towards her car. And wouldn't you know it, laying there near her car was an old rusty coat hanger laying on the ground as if somebody else had locked their keys in the car and had left it there, you know, a long time ago. So she got excited and she picked up the coat hanger, and then she realized, I don't have a clue what to do with this. So she did the only thing that she knew she could do. So she bowed her head and asked God for help. And as soon as she opened her eyes, she could see this old beat-up truck heading right to the parking spot right next to her, driven by a pretty scary-looking guy. But she was desperate, and she was thankful, and he pulled in right beside her, and he could tell that something was going on with her. And she began, he got out of the car, and she thought, dear Lord, this is who you sent to help me? But she was desperate, and she was thankful. And as the man got out of her car and he walked over to her and asked her if he could help, she said, yes, I need some help. My daughter's really sick at home. I've locked my keys on the car. I've got this coat hanger. Can you help me? The man said, sure. No problem. He grabbed the coat hanger, walked over to the car, and within a matter of moments, he unlocked the car and opened the door. She went over to the man and hugged him and began to cry, and through her tears, she said, thank you so much. You are such a nice man. The man replied, lady, I ain't such a nice man. I just got out of prison for car theft. And when she heard that, she hugged the man a second time, and she looked up towards heaven and said, thank you, God, for sending me a professional. What are you a pro at? The Bible says in Romans 12:2, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So here's O. What are your optimal conditions in your flow? What motivates your productivity? Is it Is it needs? Is it problems? Is it injustice? Do you like fast-paced or do you like slow-paced? Do you like structure, like my wife? Or do you like no structure, like me? Do you like to build or do you like to maintain? Do you like assignments or do you like boundless opportunities? Some people like to be a part of a team, a club, an organization. Some people like to be alone. There's an optimal environment for you. And finally, W in your flow. What is your wow? That deep down inside wow. And again, I'll quote Oral Roberts. He used to talk about knowing in your knower. The thing that you know on the inside, that thing that goes off inside of you, that wow inside of you. In the movie Chariots of Fire, Eric Little defended his devotion to running by telling his sister this: God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. Where do you feel God's pleasure? When do you look up to the heavens and say, God, thank you for giving me this. Thank you that I get a chance to do this. I was made to do this. What is your wow? I have to say that almost every time I have the privilege of being able to speak in front of people, I'm always grateful to God. Because it's one of my wows, honestly. It's such a privilege. And I'm always thankful that he gives me the opportunity to do it. But what is your wow? What do you look up to heaven and say, thank you, God, for making me able to do this? You got to recognize your flow, your focus, your love, your optimal conditions, and your wow. Again, God made you on purpose for a purpose. And he's got a job for you to do. Nobody else can do as well as you can. You see, you can't be anything you want to be. But you can be everything God wants you to be. And know this, there's not enough darkness in the whole world to put out the light that God's put inside of you. Amen. I got one more story to tell you. Is that okay? Yes. Charlie Steinmetz was the man who designed all the generators for Henry Ford's first assembly line. And he retired shortly thereafter, and all of a sudden the assembly plant had a problem and it had completely shut down. And all of the Ford's engineers didn't know what to do. They tried to figure it out, and they couldn't solve it. So they called in old Charlie Steinmetz, Henry Ford did, and he asked him to take a look at it. And Steinmetz came in and spent an hour or two. He pulled some gauges, and he played with some buttons and fiddled with some wires, and he jiggled this and that. And all of a sudden, he went to the master switch and pulled it, and all of a sudden, it began to work again. He tinkered around at all kinds of stuff. Well, a couple of days later, Henry Ford got a bill from Charlie Steinmetz for $10,000. And of course, Ford thought that was kind of high, so he wrote him a note and said, Charlie, that seems kind of high for just spending a couple of hours and tinkering around with the motors. And Charlie wrote him back and said, Dear Henry, for tinkering around with the motors, $10, but for knowing where to tinker, $9,990. You see, this morning, I want you to know you tinker unlike anybody else, and you must explore and begin to use your own unique tinkering abilities. You see, when you do most what you do best, I believe you put a smile on God's face, and I am encouraging you today to accept God's permission to be who he made you to be. Now, you may be saying, John, okay, I'd like to do that, but I've already made all these mistakes. I've already tried. I can't do it anymore. Let me tell you, that's not true. The Bible says this very clearly in Romans 11:29, one of my favorite Bible verses. It says, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. That means if you've done nothing, God still wants to use you today. That means if you failed many times, God still wants to use you. And in fact, I dare say this, you are here today, right here, right now, at Church on the Rock, because God wants you to know He's not finished with you, and He put you together exactly right to do it. How many will receive that right now? I will. I need it. You know, a frog can flap his legs like crazy. He can do it better and faster than any other frog, and you know what? He'll never fly. You see, some of you are frogs. You've been flapping a long time, too long. Your heroes are birds, your mentors are birds. You think you should fly just like them, and you feel guilty that you can't. Enough of that bird brain thinking today. If you're a frog, be a frog. It's great to jump, and you've got some incredible thighs underneath you. So stop flapping and get hopping. Don't let your life be a continual struggle to be what you're not and do what you're not supposed to do. Be yourself. Who else is better qualified? On Judgment Day, you know what? God's not going to ask you why you weren't somebody else. He's going to say, why weren't you you? Why weren't you Bill? Why weren't you Sue? Why weren't you John? Why weren't you Tammy? Why weren't you you? You see, God loves you just the way you are, and He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He wants you to use what He's put inside of you. He wants you to be that person that put that smile on His face. And that's why we're here today. And I'm so thankful I've been able to share that with you right now. Wow. Let's close our eyes just for a moment. And I'm going to close with one final encouraging word, but before I do, I just want to give you an invitation to commit today. I'm going to be that person. I believe the Holy Spirit has been speaking to many people today, saying, I'm not done with you. I'm not finished with you. Just step out and begin to be that person that I created you to be. And so, Father, right now, I ask that you would speak to people. And, Father, I'm challenging them and myself to step out by faith and say, I'm going to be that person. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be who you created to be, even though I've had things in my past that I've made mistakes. Today, right here, I'm going to be that person. If that's you, just lift your hand right now towards Him. I want to pray for you. Yes. Father, right now, all these hands that are lifted around the room, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to use them. And Father, I pray for small opportunities to come into their life for them to begin to use what you've put inside of them from this day forward. And now I want to make sure before I leave this pulpit that everybody here knows for sure that you, when you die, which, you know, 100 years from now, none of us are going to be here. The Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life. The Bible says that if you believe in the Lord Jesus and you confess Him with your heart and out loud and with your heart, that you can be saved right here, right now. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, Jesus, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but would have everlasting life. And so before I leave, I want to give every person an opportunity to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior today, or maybe you need to rededicate your life to Him right now. And if that's you, just lift your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Praise God. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. So those of you who lifted your hands and everybody else here, please pray this prayer with me right now. Dear God, thank you. Thank you that you've provided a way for me to spend eternity with you. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died and rose again. And I accept him today as my personal Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Now help me, God. Be that person that you created me to be. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Can you bring those up here real quick? I'm sorry, I'm running a little bit over, a few minutes over. How many of you don't like to read? Come on, church, you got to be honest. I wrote all my books for you. Because people say they don't like to read, but they like my books. I think it's because my chapters are typically only 2 pages long. So you can read like 8 pages, or which is 4 chapters, and feel really proud. I only brought 2 books with me today. Some of you know this book, An Enemy Called Average. Yes, it's for people that want to go to another level, that want to quit but they won't, that want to no longer be mediocre about anything. And I know that this book will be a great blessing to you. And I have a brand new book that just came out a month ago. It's called Beat Self-Defeat. You know, Pastor Blunt says, stay out of your own way. And this book attacks more than 42 areas that we allow into our lives that work against ourselves. And I know it'll be a great blessing to you. We have a special deal on 2 of them. Buy 2 books, and it's out there at the book table. Can I close with one statement real quick? Okay. I'm a little over. I like to be on time, but I think this will be worth it. Here's a final encouraging word. Here it is. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring. He sends you a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he'll listen. He could live anywhere in the universe, but he chose your heart. He made you the most uniquely qualified and equipped person on the face of the earth to do what God has called you to do. So face it, friend. He's crazy about you. God bless you, Church on the Rock.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.